This is new. I'm not used to this side.
Yeah.
At all. I mean, it feels good.
I feel like you're in less control over there.
High key. It's been a while since we hit you guys with a home team podcast, but what's up, man? How you feeling?
Homemade special, baby. I'm good, bro.
It's for James Curry.
My dog. Or her.
I've been better. Nah, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, all jokes aside, it's been a... It was for sure a busy week, but it was... So we just had our second event really ever. It was World Mental Health Day and Neep Collective. And it was quite the showing, I would do say so myself.
Yeah, it was What'd good, think? Man. I think the vibes were good. It was a great night. I had a lot of fun. And although we could have some more supporters over there, nonetheless, it was fun and it was what it was supposed to be, man.
I thought for a Thursday, it was pretty damn busy.
It was good.
Compared to like any, I think we might have been some of the busiest places in El Paso on a Thursday, bro, for sure. All right.
100%.
Yeah. But yeah, man, thank you guys for all of you who came out. MQ and JD freaking killed that shit. They're definitely on the path to something special, man. They both came, well, MQ came from Crucis. JD came all the way from LA. But dude, yeah, it was badass. How would you compare it to the first event?
To the first event, it just I think it was just much more of a natural like flow to it. I think we were just a lot more comfortable.
Oh, dude.
The first event was felt like a fucking scramble.
Yeah.
I feel like today we actually had like a playbook, or like the last event actually felt like we had a playbook.
Yeah, for sure. We had a playbook. Also, there wasn't as many as many different factors going on. Like, we didn't sell tickets, so we didn't have to obviously close off the venue.
Right.
We didn't have to worry about ticket sales. We didn't have to worry about a bunch of vendors. It was really only like four or five vendors at this last one. We also didn't have to worry about what else. Really, that was it. I think we had a lot more entertainment. We spent a lot more money on this last one for sure. Not on this on the first one. But yeah, dude, I was able to definitely enjoy this one a lot more.
Right.
I got to interact. I was actually like seeing how people were like, just like how the flow was going, bro. Like last time there was, on top of me getting fucking absolutely hammered, like it was just, I think we had more time to just like chill.
Right.
As opposed to just running around everywhere last time.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it was good. We're actually going to do a little Q&A with you guys. We had some people send in some questions.
A live Q&A would be pretty cool too, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to...
Are you going to go live?
Yeah, I'm going to go live on IG right now, actually.
Cool.
See who joins us. Let's start this up. 50.
So, man, mentally, how are you, though?
Dude, I've been... it's hard because I don't want to say, like... I could be a lot like worse, and there's like a lot more like worse situations in the grand scheme of things. Everything's good, bro. Like nothing to complain about, but I feel like I'm in like a little phase right now where I'm just kind of like, feel like I'm kind of going through the motions a bit. Like, obviously we're still doing good things, we're being consistent, but I'm trying to kind of like navigate this feeling of how do I say it?
Just like kind being of feeling unsatisfied, maybe.
Yeah, just like kind of feeling stagnant, dude. Like just kind of being in the same routine.
Right.
Maybe partially that's my fault, but it's also I don't know, man. Like just being honest, around this time of year, like heading into fall, I always feel like a little down. And it's just like a pattern I felt over the years. Maybe it's just a habit I built up of just like I guess like me kind of thinking about it and then like me knowing it's coming just kind of plays into like it making it worse, you know?
Right.
Or like just happening. But I don't know. It's just like, it's taken a little bit more effort to kind of get things done. It's not as like as much as enthusiasm behind it, but I think it's just a little phase that, just got to get through. But nonetheless, bro, I mean, can't really complain.
100%. Yeah.
How about you?
I guess I would say the same thing. Something pretty similar, bro. I'm in a weird phase where I kind of just feel very unsatisfied with certain things in my life at the moment. And I had an epiphany, bro. I mean, being sober, not smoking weed. I'm, what is it, fucking 14 days.
Yeah.
14 days of not toking on a blunt. And, yeah, just a lot more, like, awareness has, like, been at the forefront of my mind, and it's just been haunting me a little harder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nonetheless, I'm a little bit, I'm in a place where I just feel like I can do more. And, so I'm in the middle of kind of pushing some boundaries that I used to have and, you know, trying some new things out, man. And, I think it's going to be all right, man. It's going to be all right.
And you're kind of in the middle of, like, just kind of figuring out what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, jobs, too. Like, yeah. Career-wise, I'm in a transition of going to my old job, previous job. So, but, yeah, nonetheless, I just feel like I could push myself a little more than what I've been doing. I've been a little complacent, I would say. And, yeah, I can do more, man. So, yep. I'm just ready to fucking get after it.
Yeah.
But you know what's weird, bro? I think, and this is just personally, like, I think I'm at my best, bro, when I kind of have that mentality of like it's kind of bad, I guess you could say, but like I kind of hold like a bit of disappointment towards myself, like, damn, like you can be doing like so much more, doing way better, and it kind of fires me up like that, and it's I don't know if it's a healthy relationship. I wouldn't say it's all the way healthy, but for whatever reason, whenever I have this mentality and I'm a bit like I carry that disappointment in myself,
yeah,
it just fires me up, bro.
Yeah.
It just lights me up.
Disappointment, bro. That's kind of... Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
What's going on?
What's up, Mr. Vickster? Mr. Vickerton? Come take a seat, man.
Yeah, man. Join the hot seat.
You can sit right there, bro.
The mic should be hot, right?
It's not hot, it's actually. Not hot?
Okay.
Just join us, my friend.
We're here.
Yeah, we were just talking about how we've been feeling lately, just how life's going.
Yeah, bro, you should do that brain performance.
Oh, yeah, he was telling me about that.
Yeah.
You've been thinking about that shit or what?
A lot.
You liked it?
Yeah, bro, I definitely liked it.
Yeah.
It made me notice certain things that I weren't aware of, you feel me?
Right.
That I was aware of, but I wasn't aware of.
Yeah. Are you fully bought in? Like, do you think, like, it actually knows, like, what's really going on with us? Or do you think it's a little bit of, like, BS? Honestly, I believe it too somewhat, like I was telling him, but like when she said she can reprogram like our brains or whatever,
yeah,
yeah, I was just like, ah, oh, it's hard to believe.
So,
what did he
so
say?
Basically, he said it get deeper. No, so basically, you were just like putting your hand on this scanner?
Yeah, like it's a metal like platform and it has like little metal frames, bro, where you like stick your fingers
and it like reads the electrical signals in your body or some shit.
It says from like directly to your brain. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Like electrical signals.
Yeah,
that is nuts.
And it was just telling you like just emotions and different things that you probably experiencing.
So, bro, so the first thing that pops up after you like it diagnoses you or whatever, it gives you like a list of like your organs, bro, and it'll be like, you know, like your pancreas, or not your pancreas, but your pineal, it'll say like adrenal,
yeah,
lungs, like there is a bunch of other stuff, kidney, yeah, and then wow. It'll like light up red, whatever it says, like your body's telling you that it's like not necessarily like functioning properly,
yeah,
and then she dove into like the deeper details of everything, and yeah, it would like tell you like at the first foremost like what your problems are, bro, and a lot of it was emotional.
Let's see it. And she's like, "Hey, Mr. Curry, do you have an erection right now? That's what it's showing.
Is it
showing a lot of
movement? Like?
We're showing a lot of activity in the fucking midsection here."
Oh, you're talking about the scan? You're crazy.
Yeah, but that's crazy. The kidneys and lungs.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Kidneys, bro. It's saying I have bad kidneys, dog.
Oh yeah, it's red on your kidneys.
Yeah,
and then yellow on your thymus. Your urinary bladder, your pituitary gland.
It was crazy, bro. It fucked me up.
Your cock's in good shape. It's just kidding. Yeah, dude. I would be curious to kind of do more research on it and see the actual like science behind it.
Right.
Just because, yeah, I mean, but I feel like it could help, even if it was like a placebo effect per se. Like, I mean,
it might could just make you more aware of,
yeah,
like just, yeah, emotions that like that might be affecting you.
She had a pretty good, like, it had a good examination
Well, yeah, bro, like I was kind of saying, like, being sober, like, the last couple of days, I've been, like, yeah, just a lot more emotionally aware. And the emotions that it was showing that were, like, on my file or whatever were, yeah, were emotions that I guess I could say I've been, like, dealing with or maybe experiencing. And
yeah, how'd you feel after the night of drinking? Because so we've been trying to do Sober October. And so our first day drinking was the 10th, which was, like, our celebration. We told ourselves, like, going in, like, you know, if we want to have a drink, like, let's have a drink. I mean, it's our event and shit. So we ended up drinking. We didn't go crazy by any means. But how'd you feel, like, the next day? You feel
all right? Honestly, yeah, I felt all right. I didn't go too hard like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt all right. I think it's just when I'm not drinking so, like, for so long and then I drink, I just feel like shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can just tell a difference. Mm-hmm. But I think it was all right. I think it was just crazy going from, like, World Mental Health Day and, like, kind of the energy yeah, and then going to headquarters. Like, it was just, like, it's like night and day, bro. Yeah. It's crazy.
Completely different environments.
Yeah.
It was like fucking, it was like when I went to HQ, bro, I was ready to put my mask on and fucking go Freddy Krueger mode. Like,
nah, for sure. It's like, and it's just different. It's not good. It's not per se bad. It's just like, I think it's just a different type of energies, bro. Like, and I don't know. I've been trying to diagnose and, like, just kind of see what it is that's been, like, really, like, on my mind. Cause I can't really, like, put into words, bro. But I don't know. I think it's just more so being in the same constant just routine, bro. I feel like it's the same kind of similar thing. And I just, like,
just looking for some, like, what's the next, like, real excitement?
Yeah, like, just and I mean, and Thursday was a lot of fun. Like, right, that was a lot of fun. I feel like that's, like, throwing events and stuff is actually, like, very fulfilling and stuff.
Right.
But then after that, I was just like, fuck, dude. Like,
yeah, you kind of crashed
a little. Yeah, a little bit like that. And I guess it was kind of like the last event too. Like, remember, like, that week after our event, we were just like, damn,
we were down bad.
Down bad. I think it's just like that, what's that shit called? It's like when you go on vacation and then you come back.
Yeah, yeah. And you're just kind of like a little like,
Yeah, for sure.
Like back to reality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, we're going to keep going, man. I think we'll hit our stride here pretty soon. Then we just got to be consistent. I am ready to, definitely leave for a little bit though.
Yeah, see, yeah, some new stuff, see some new things, new experiences.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't think we really, like, made it official, but I mean, we definitely want to go to Austin in the next, like, few months. I think we're all saving up. We kind of already have a plan to do so. So I think it would be really good for us, man. I think it's, like, the perfect spot right now, to be honest.
Right.
I think as far as, like, like, cost of living, obviously it's more expensive, but it's not as bad as, like, other places. And then I think just that's where the energy is right now in this, obviously New York and LA, but I feel like Austin's, like, right up there right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Y'all trying to go live or what?
Come on, man, let's do it. Let's get some participation here from the crowd.
Episode 52 live Q&A.
All right.
3, 2, 1. Hello there. we are live, my friends, on the MVP podcast, episode 52. What's everybody doing?
It's the homemade edition, baby.
What's yep. What's home going? Team. Home team. What's up, Vickerton?
Wow.
How's your day going, man? Yes, sir. How's everybody doing, man? Devin's World 2 join. Notorious Nick 14 in the building. In the building. Oh, man. But, yeah, we definitely are going to answer some of you guys' questions. So definitely send us some questions in. What's up, my boy? Let's see. Damn, that boy Greg just joined. Greg Fausta.
Mr. Fausta. Sheesh. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? been too long. Just saying what's up to everybody real quick.
Man, yeah, ask
some questions. Yeah, send us some questions. We are open to all topics. Alex Majestic. Oh, we know Alex Majestic going to hit us with some questions. Oh, shit. He can't hear us. Can you go on my live, bro? Can you hear me?
Maybe you're covering the
yeah,
audio.
Maybe. Can y'all hear me right now? Yeah, I think we're good. All right, perfect. Hey, would you be able to just like hold it for us, bro?
I got you,
my brother. Sir. Just gotta moderate this live, bro. Tell us what the people are saying. You can sit down, bro. Just chill.
Let's talk about it, bro. Do you think to be like at your most productive, in any aspect of life, job, you know what I'm saying, whatever that your job may be, do you feel like you actually have to disconnect yourself from like a lot of people, bro, to operate at your most like effective, like level?
Disconnect. So isolate yourself.
Basically isolate yourself.
I don't think isolate.
What do you think the relationship with that has to be?
I don't think isolate yourself fully. I think it just depends who you're surrounded by. So like if you're constantly used to being in the same like environment. Like let's just say like for example, you've worked in the service industry for a while. Mm-hmm. And you want to make certain strides in another like avenue of life that's not like in the service industry. Maybe it's something that requires you to wake up early and, you know, maybe not be hungover all the time and like just be going out constantly. And that other thing you're doing is just requiring more of that. Then for sure, you're going to have to like isolate yourself in that sense, because all the people you're surrounded by most of the time is like, it's not conducive to what you want to like what you want to do.
Right.
But at the same time, I think it's like, because I've done it where I completely like just stopped like interacting with people, you know, and it's, I think it's super unhealthy too, because yeah. I don't think that's sustainable.
100%.
I think you just get kind of like, yeah, just get super lonely, bro. Obviously, like, I think you'll hit certain lonely points, especially like when you're trying to find like your new tribe and like your new, new crowd, but I don't think it's 100% necessary. I think it's just like, yeah, your environment and getting to another different environment, like you, that of people you want to be surrounded by, you know?
So you feel like you don't necessarily have to be lonely, like no. Achieving greatness or going after it.
I think you'll be lonelier than some people that aren't necessarily like that don't mind.
Yeah.
Like just kind of doing certain things that I don't want to say average, but like just, yeah, like I feel like if you want to be like hyper successful in whatever you want to do, you definitely have to, you're going to lose a lot of people that are, you're surrounded by.
Right.
You know, what do you think?
I'm kind of in the same boat. Personally, I feel like if you're trying to achieve it, something that's like, yeah, it's not considered, I guess, normal, like achieving for something or going for something that's only like the top percentile of people can achieve or have achieved. I think by default, yeah, you're going to have to like give up a lot of just like, yeah, like you're just gonna have to give up on, I'm not going to say give up on people, but you're going to have to definitely like distance yourself.
Yeah.
Separate yourself from, you know, certain environments, like, because I'd rather just not even be in certain temptations, bro. Like, yeah, you can go out, be sober, like you can go out and, you know, do something casual with the friends, but then that brings upon like other temptations and, you know, we're going to go here afterwards. And, you know, now you got to just, you know, and being, saying no isn't a bad thing, but I think it gets to a point to where you'd just rather not even go to
the for sure.
Deco, you know?
Yeah. Is there any comments or anything? Any questions?
No questions.
Is there anybody in the live right now?
Yes, there's people coming.
Bet. What's up, y'all?
If you guys are joining, yeah,
but I think what you said is actually key, because I feel like it's not the idea of like people like saying like stop drinking, stop doing this. It's like, what's up?
Question,
yeah.
Who's the most influential person in your person in your life.
Ooh, who's this by?
Jocelyn Smith.
Jocelyn Smith. Okay.
Ooh, that's, yeah, yeah.
It's a good question.
For sure.
Who is it for you?
Ooh, most influential person in my life?
In your life.
Damn.
That is tough.
That one's hard, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's so many. Damn, bro.
Not my brother, no.
That's crazy. Damn, I feel like it varies because I've learned so many different things from a lot of different people. I'd say in the aspect of like what we're doing right now, my brother, 100%.
Fuck you.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure. And no, not so much. And you said that's crazy. I barely got why you said that. Yeah, yeah. No, I think just like because I've literally like just learned everything, like how to do this, how we're sitting here and recording, and fucking how we push this podcast out and these lights and everything. Right. It's really just because like I was able to learn from him. So
right
for this instance, yeah, I would say my brother. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. I'm gonna go ahead and say a LeBron James.
No, I'm playing. Hell yeah.
I mean, yeah, honestly, I think I've a lot of my influence comes from my parents, bro. My parents, they put me on a lot of game, and even though they're really old school, I think I've taken a lot of good qualities from them that
yeah
I'll be carrying along for a long
time. What do you think you got in most from your dad?
Man, honestly, like for him, it's just like he's always been like a high achiever, bro. Like he's always pushed me to like to my limits.
Yeah.
And so with him, I think he's helped me like realize and acknowledge that like I can always push myself a little more. Cause even like when I was younger and I thought like I was overextending myself, he kind of taught me that I could still keep going, you know, even
yeah.
though as much as I hated it in the moment, like thinking of it now, like from a bigger picture, it's like, yeah, I had more in me. Like I could keep going.
Yeah.
You know? So
for sure. Hell yeah. Shout out to Jocelyn.
Shout out Jocelyn.
We'll see you in Austin soon.
Yeah, we're going to be out there. Who?
What's Raw Junior Insta?
Oh, bet.
What's a good approach to network and collab with other creators?
Ooh, I love that one.
Take the lead, my boy.
Yeah. I would say for us, it's really just been like how we got. I have had people ask like how we got certain people on the podcast. And literally, bro, it's like, I feel like you have to look at it as a network, and anywhere you go, like the entire world per se is just a network, bro. Like we're like two or three people removed from like knowing or being in contact with Devin Booker or some shit. That's just an example.
Right.
We may not be, but that's just an example. Or like we may like a big rapper. No cap.
No cap.
We're one person removed knowing no cap. We're two, three people away from knowing. So like if you look at it like that, and if you eventually, like let's just say in your podcast game, like you're really going to people at first, like we started with our family and friends, and then really they introduce us, or this other person saw the podcast and like, oh damn, that's fire. Like they follow us and be like, oh shit, we would love to get that person on, just because the person we had on knew them or someone watched it. It's just like you got to look at it as a network, bro. So if you maybe there's someone that you really want to collaborate or network with, but you don't have contact with them, or you're maybe not as far as long as you want to be able to like be in that position, then you have to start with someone who's like kind of like on the same playing field as you. And then once you do that, you can kind of move your way up. I feel like that's how you look at it, but you definitely can't count yourself as like out just because there's people up here. Cause I think it's important to realize like everybody's like just like us, bro. Like right. Human.
Literally.
Yeah. I think that's one thing we've learned, right? Is like just through interviewing like the people we have, like they're amazing. They're amazing in their field, and they might be high achievers, but they're just like you and me, bro. Like they deal with a lot of the same things. So
exactly.
I would say that. How about you, bro? You're pretty good. You're one of the best fucking networkers I know.
I mean, honestly, now you hit it on the head, bro. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all like one and the same, bro. We're all humans. We all share, you know, similar experiences. A lot of our downs, we share a lot of similar stories when in our moments of us being down. So, in all reality, is if you just take that approach and that humble approach to just speak to another human, bro, it's they'll receive it just as you would receive it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think the thing I've had to learn the most is not fucking taking things personal.
Yeah.
Because it's hard not to, especially like when you really care about something and you want something to like succeed and stuff. But I think the most important thing is just to like for example, if someone you want to collaborate with, like it's just kind of not giving you the same energy maybe you want. First of all, they might be going through something, bro. Like they might be on their, like they're in a completely different reality than you, bro. Like it might not even be that they don't want to do it. It's just like the timing isn't right. So I feel like that's the most important thing. You just got to keep it moving type thing. But yeah. Any other questions?
Yes, sir. Who's taller?
Huh?
Who's taller?
I might have him by a half inch.
Nah, hell no.
Fuck you talking about?
Wait, who asked? Huh? Who asked? Joel Nevadas?
Yes.
Ooh.
Stand up right now, bro. Put the camera right on our heads.
Nah. What do you got on? I think we might be the same exact height.
I got big sandals.
Oh, yeah, for sure, bro. That was a great question.
You really want to stand up?
Nah, hell no. No, real talk. I think James was always taller than me growing up. Even up to high school, bro. Like, even our senior year.
Right.
You might have had me by, like, 1 or 2 inches, but... Yeah. Hey, things change, my boy.
We might be like the same height.
I think the same height.
Yeah.
Depending on what shoes we're wearing, honestly. But yeah, we're the same height, bro.
I just bench more.
Yeah, 100%.
And he can run.
But
fast.
I can, and I can, never mind.
bitch.
Any other questions, bro?
No, we just got a response. Joel said, wrong, I am.
Hey, bro, you are, I'd say for El Paso.
He's...
Nah, just kidding. Nah, Joel's not short, bro. I think, I've had to guess, you like 5'10", 5'11"?
He said, what's your biggest accomplishment?
Ooh. Not shit. We haven't accomplished shit. I'm just kidding. Biggest accomplishment, man. Ooh. The biggest. Damn.
Bro, we're nobody, bro.
biggest accomplishment, bro? Damn. Here, you got to take this one, bro.
I mean, I don't know.
I would say there's just different topics or different ways.
Yeah, because there's spiritual accomplishments and then there's accolades, like accomplishments. I mean, they're all like within its own righteous.
Ooh, okay. The most important one to me, and this is getting real personal, for sure it was overcoming panic attacks.
Yeah.
Like not having, getting in a place where I wasn't having fucking panic attacks anymore.
Yeah.
Because anybody who's experienced that, it's just like, yeah, it's the worst. And it just kind of completely takes away from everything you're doing. Any productivity, anything you want to do, bro, it's just like it damn near debilitating. So being able to overcome that and just like do what we're doing now, even if like just regardless of even what like the statistics and like what episode we're on, just to be here right now, you know, and
right.
just not dealing with that, I think that's like a big one for sure.
100%.
Yeah. And you?
Same. Like it's more spiritual, bro. It's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's overcoming like personal challenges and shit. I don't want to make it a whole rant about it, but
yeah.
But yeah, it's more like spiritual accomplishment.
I think once you overcome this injury, I feel like that'd be pretty big, huh?
That's a pretty big one. But even then, I wouldn't consider that like in the top.
Eddie Jesus,
wow. Maybe Ed could ask us something.
What's up, God?
Something deep, man.
Yeah. Eddie Jesus.
Eddie, give us some questions, big dog. Hey, Josh, I asked, what's your red flag?
What's my red flag? Okay. Meeting a girl at a bar. Nah, I'm just kidding. Nah, I'm just kidding. That's terrible. Because I'm there too, right? Like Eddie says.
Yeah. Although I talk a lot and like we have a podcast, like when it comes to like maybe in a relationship aspect, I'm not the best about being vocal about things I don't like or I might be insecure about. And I just end up like kind of holding on to it myself, which might lead to like some other problems down the road, which you know, you just never know how it can stand. But yeah, I think that's my biggest red flag.
Oh wait, is it seeing someone in someone else or in ourselves?
In ourselves.
I was gonna ask that, but yeah, it was just what's your red flag?
Oh, yeah, I think it's with us. Yeah. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so I would say that just, yeah, my communication is not the best. Like, I might just hold on to it and let it eat me up, man.
My biggest red flag is I can be a little selfish with my time. I feel like that's sometimes, yeah, I think I can be a little selfish when it comes to just like doing things when I want to do it. And I don't think that's conducive to having a healthy relationship sometimes, you know?
Right, 100%.
But yeah, I would say that one. Yeah. There's another one?
Okay, yes, 80. All right, y'all get ready for this one.
Damn. You.
How has practicing, visualizing, and affirming to have a great day on purpose work for you?
Okay. Mm. Visualizing and affirming.
I'm not gonna lie. So some days are better than others, personally. But when I'm very intentional about visualizing and affirming, I ain't gonna lie, I've had some of my best days. No bullshit. Like, all bullshit aside, I would say I haven't gotten to a place where I can do it every day, or where I do it every day. But when I do take the time to actually like sit there and focus and actually try to visualize me having like a great day, 9 times out of 10, I do have a great day, but it's not always that. But yes, I've had some very powerful experiences with that. Actually,
I'd say as the more we started hanging out with Eddie, I don't know. I just there's certain things that I've noticed like in the past few months that obviously I've always had these like visions of like I think we all do of this like the future and things we can do and dreams for ourselves and stuff. But I don't know, just recently, like, there's been certain things where, like, I visualize and, like, want something to happen. And then just, like, it's fucking found a way, bro. Like, just certain things, maybe getting in contact with certain person that an opportunity came up, or just the way certain things have played out. Just through thinking about it and really just leaving it in God's hands or creator's hands, and just like the universe's hands, like just putting it out and wanting it to happen, but also like not really having an expectation with it either. Right. Just letting it be. I think it's powerful for sure. Awesome. Yeah. I think it's being intentional with it. Oh, what I was going to say is like, I don't think, cause you were talking about temptation.
Right.
And I don't think it's, you can't look at it as like, all bad, like drinking, like smoking, doing this, doing certain things, you know. Obviously if there's an excess of it, then it can definitely be bad for you, but it's all about what your expectations and like what your expectations are for yourself. Right. And like if going out and doing those things is gonna put you in a position that it's gonna like you're going to be surrounded by temptation that you know is like internally is not what you want to, like the road like you want to go down, then it's a problem, you know? Right. But if you're in a place in your life where you just want to like celebrate and you want to like, I mean, I think everybody has that phase where they don't mind just having fun doing that. But like, I think why we're so conflicted right now is because I think we're so like involved and so like, there's just so much going on all the time, especially here in the city. Right. And then like, it's not that obviously like it's cool to go out and stuff, but I think recently when we go, it's just like, and maybe it's just like the drinking too that plays into it. Right. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, like you said, it's a temptation that you're kind of surrounded by that is going to kind of just like lead us down, like just like a little like spiral of things we don't want to go down, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I think it's all about what you want for yourself at that time, you know?
Right. Having like maintaining a healthy balance with it, basically.
Yeah.
One more question. Where do you see yourselves in a year?
In a year. Eddie. Well, if all things are as planned, we'll be in Austin. So we'll be in Austin, Texas. Hopefully making rent. No, I'm just kidding.
At the very minimum.
Yeah. I think for sure, like, all I could really hope for in a year is just being out there in Austin, meeting amazing people, really just doing what we've been doing here, you 100%. Know, meeting amazing people, enjoying the city, experiencing new things. I think that's the reason why we're going out there in the first place. That's really what I would see.
Yeah, for me in a year, I see myself running, hell yeah. Jumping, hopefully playing basketball somewhere.
Yeah,
that'd be lit. Our relationship growing and developing. In Austin, thriving, just meeting great people, having fun, enjoying ourselves, and most importantly, like, you know, pushing the brand, man, pushing the movement.
Hopefully getting married. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Imagine. That's crazy.
I want to get married fucking kind of young, bro, honestly.
What, bro, under 30?
Yeah, for sure.
30 for 30?
I think like 28, 29.
That was honestly the age I throw around too, bro.
Yeah.
That's really the age I throw around. Yeah.
Man, it was.
Yeah. Bro, so.
Oh, we also have some questions that we could answer from
Let's answer some of these. What time did we start the pod at? 6?
Well, it's
a little bit before 6.
42 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. What should you do in times of adversity? Breakup, getting fired, betrayal, depression, etc.
From who's this from?
Is that Foosh? That's not Foosh, is it? I don't know who the homie is.
Oh, Faldoa?
Yeah.
Okay. Question from Faldoa underscore. Underscore. what do you do in times of adversity? The question? What do you do
in times of adversity?
Okay. Damn. I think if we go in, like, what was kind of the specifics of it?
Breakup, getting fired, betrayal, or depression.
For sure. I think in the words of Eddie, I think the main thing I've learned, or one of the main things I've learned so far is just really just seeing it as a challenge. Just seeing it as something you have to overcome as opposed to like a roadblock, you see it as opportunity.
Right.
I think that's the biggest thing. Because then you see it as, like, you start thinking, and it, not that it becomes fun by any means, but it just, like, you know that there's going to be something behind that on the other side of that, something good.
Right.
And when you understand that, then it's going to, like, just propel you forward, as opposed to, like, damn, like, just seeing it as, like, just this big-ass obstacle that seems insurmountable, and right. You just kind of feel defeated, you know?
In times where I was at my lowest and in a bad place, because I've dealt with all of them.
Yeah.
You know, like fucking getting fired, losing jobs, changing jobs, not knowing where my next check's gonna come from, when it's gonna come, you know, knowing bills gotta get paid.
Yeah.
I think you just gotta set small goals for yourself, and conquer the small goals. And then once you start to conquer those small goals, you start to see, like, the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, damn, like, I can actually, like, make something, like, really good out of this.
Yeah.
Or something really good can come from that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, conquering the small goals is huge.
Is there a question?
Yeah. Abe was just saying, breath work, meditate, pray, God, pay, world walking, faith, you're going to get paid. This is 100%. Spiritual truth, recognize the pain, no one can cheat you, and sisters watch and make them proud.
100%. Damn, that's actually... Bro, I swear, every time Eddie speaks, there's, like, one thing that stands out to me. Yeah. Like, obviously, all that was good, but then, like, for some reason, when he says ancestors are watching, like, that should just hit me, bro. It's like, that's crazy, bro. Like, yeah. It's true.
100%.
Yeah. Like, literally, people that, from the beginning of time, you have, like, you came from other people.
Yeah, from, like, a family.
That spans through the beginning of time, bro.
Right.
Like, their genetics are inside you, and they're just like,
that's insane.
Yeah. And like, even, and then you just go back generations, like, things that people had to go through, right. and adversity people had to overcome, and like, you're literally like the living and breathing result of that.
Yeah.
And we're fucking here talking into a mic. That's amazing, bro. That's crazy. Damn.
100%.
Powerful. Mm-hmm.
What are some ways to cope with feelings of emptiness or emotional numbness when nothing seems to help? That's a great question.
Bro, when I hear numbness, like, that's so relatable.
Emotional numbness.
Yeah. That's so relatable. Sometimes, bro, like, you don't even feel, like, angry, sad, like, happy. You just feel, like, there. Mm.
And it's damn near feels like a stretch to feel any sort of anything.
Yeah. I think you just gotta, like, I think when I do it, I just have to feel it, bro. Like, I just really have to just, like, feel it, not like try to burden other people with it as much as, like, I don't like being the downer, like the peopleless person who kills the vibe of another person, you know?
Right.
But sometimes when you're around, bro, you're just not feeling it at all. 100%. So I think all you can do sometimes is just, like, really just feel that, because you're not gonna feel that, like, for long, you know? I think, like I said, bro, I just, from my experiences, it's always just, like, waves and waves.
Right.
And I think the more you overcome things, I think the more, like, the highs, like, are prolonged. And then, like, you're always going to have the dips. But I don't think the dips are as frequent. Right. Like, the better you get at coping and right. the more experiences you have, you know?
Right.
Yeah. What would you say?
That's crazy. I don't know. Yeah, just to me, like, whenever I feel like that, I feel like the best thing for me personally is, like, I really need to isolate myself. And it's kind of something similar to, like, what Eddie said, along the lines of, like, just having faith in, like, what's to come, that something, like, something good is going to come, and, like, doing small tasks and accomplishing small tasks, because then you actually get something to be proud of, and then you can kind of build some momentum as far as, like, you start to, like, once you feel happy about something, that kind of bleeds into something else. But you have to genuinely yeah. feel like you, like, are happy about something, like, accomplishing something. You're like, man, like, I just, you know, I just hit my, like, my weight goal in the gym, or, like, mm-hmm. I just put out a video that I really, like, been wanting to put out, and it came out good. Or, you know, I think, like, accomplishing small tasks and small goals, and at the same time, like, staying low and having faith in something bigger than you, eventually you're like, you're just bound to get out of it. I feel like you just kind of have to stay down for a little bit. And I think without a doubt, inevitably you're going to go through those seasons of rain, you know, like those seasons where you just emotionally feel just out of it and disconnected, yeah, you know,
for sure.
I think that's going to be there throughout all of life in waves.
Mm-hmm.
So
100%. Yes, sir.
I don't know. Eddie, is Eddie still in the chat?
Yeah, he said, you feel numb, go feed someone you need, wash an elder's car, do something for someone else.
Do something good for somebody else.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Is like, right. I think we can be just invested in our own emotions,
right,
and whatever we're going through. And like, whenever you feel the most, like, down and stuff, I think it's important to just make sure, just to make someone else's day, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not your day, you know?
Right.
It's 100%. So if you can make someone else feel better, I think inevitably, like, you might just feel better because of that, you know?
Right.
But it's hard when you're feeling like shit. It's like, I think it's a lot easier to make someone else feel like shit when you're feeling like shit.
You know, honestly, negativity is so easy to spread. Yeah. So that's, yeah, I totally, man, totally. And that's why I say isolate. Cause, yeah, I'm the kind of person that if I'm down and negative, man, I can't be around nobody. And if I am, I'm going to just kill the whole vibe. Like, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Did he say something?
Hell yeah, that's facts. Some cold plunges, boy. That's so underrated. But honestly, if you're having a terrible day, if you do jump in some ice, you're just bound to come out that ice feeling way better. Mm. Like, you just, that's for sure, like, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's a surefire way to, yeah,
just feel a little, just feel better. Something. Feel something, man. I'm telling you, you're gonna leave that ice tub fired up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was another one?
Honestly, bro, how often? Like, we could probably do that. We should start doing that pretty kind of often, a lot more often.
We just have to buy ice.
Yeah.
But it's about to get cold, bro. So, I mean,
we could just leave
We could really just jump in the pool.
Yeah.
If we wanted to.
Actually.
And we have our own cold plunge now, so.
Yeah, that's fire.
Yup. What's the next question? Shit
freeze up.
Oh, low key.
She had a second question. It was,
who?
It was Lexi Vet that asked that question.
Oh, yes.
Yo, this new iOS update is crazy. I don't even know how to function it. Hold on. Yo.
Hey, Sam was ready for a retreat.
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah, no, I'm excited, actually. So Lexi Vet, she also asked, how can someone start healing from past trauma when it feels overwhelming? Yeah, when it feels overwhelming. How can someone start healing from past trauma when it feels overwhelming?
How can
someone? She said or, but like it didn't fit in the whole frame.
How can someone start healing from past trauma when it feels overwhelming? Past trauma. That one's tough because you don't even know that that's what's affecting you sometimes. You know?
Right. Literally on that machine, it said like it said I deal with PTSD, bro.
Damn.
Yeah, it was like, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can just carry that with you into other aspects of life, into relationships, and you don't even know where it stemmed from, bro. Like,
right.
So I think it's just like being aware. I think awareness is the biggest one for that one, is being aware of it and just like somehow rewiring your brain to understand it, being aware of it, and just like changing the habit of you constantly going in that same path, you know?
Right.
That's what I would say. I think Vic asked if you had any near-death experiences.
Yeah. Literally, I was about to read that one next. Yeah, he asked if we had any near-death experience.
Damn.
It depends what you consider near-death, I mean.
Yeah. As far as, like...
I wouldn't say, like, actual near-death. Like,
yeah. There's been some times where shit could have gone much, like, a lot worse than it did. I'm trying to think of one. Oh, like, when I was almost fucking skied off the mountain and hit a tree.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That one could have been very dangerous. We almost hit a deer, a big-ass elk on the way to Redoso.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like instances like that. But as far as near death, nothing to where, like, I saw, like, white lights and shit. And
right.
I saw, like... anything, or I was just like in the hospital or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I nothing comes straight like right to mind like a real near death experience. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd consider that, but I wouldn't say like I've had like a, I know I've had some experiences where I was scared, like I could have possibly like died, but like I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like it didn't happen. So
yeah. Isn't it crazy like how certain situations can play out a totally different way if one thing different when like yeah. If you would have stayed like 5 minutes somewhere longer. Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Drew had asked, what's the hardest part about making podcasts in the niche you're in? Honestly, being wholesome all the damn time. Sometimes I want to say F this shit. Now I'm playing. Honestly, what is it?
Hardest part about I think it's a little bit hard to get the interaction and the, I guess, the exposure.
Right.
Because I feel like we're a very positive platform.
Right.
Sometimes positive doesn't get, like, as pushed as much, bro.
Right.
And it's kind of unfortunate. I would say that's the hardest part just because it can be, like, a little bit deflating sometimes.
Right. It's because it's the chaos that gets pushed out, bro. It's what people like share as tea, like, oh, look at the new tea in the city and stuff.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna lie, like certain things when we put it out, I'm like, damn, like this is pretty dope, bro. Like I feel like this will resonate, and then it like
gets no
views. Yeah I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, for example, the thing we did, the episode we did with Renard Johnson,
right?
Like, maybe I would have thought, like, bro, this isn't possibly the future mayor of El Paso, and he has a really good shot in the next 3 weeks. But I was like, damn, like, that was big for us, bro.
Yeah, that was huge.
And it was just like, and I'm still super proud of it. And I think, I feel like it's actually going to do, people realize, like, oh, damn, that was actually big.
Yeah.
But, dude, like, this is a dude who's going to be running our city for the next several years.
Right.
Like, that's humongous, and he has so many plans to do certain things, and it could literally directly affect your life here in El Paso. I thought that was huge, and it was just, like, certain things like that, like, aren't spread. I'm just like, damn, like, it's crazy sometimes, but, like, you can't, I don't, like I said.
And it does kind of get tough, man, like, being, like, just, yeah, like, thinking we're putting out a good product and then it not get the response that like we thought it would get, especially like when when we're really committed to like putting out a good product, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's tough. And yeah. It's also kind of tough to, like, I would say, like, get people to come on here and just be completely vulnerable sometimes too. Like, it's a little challenge to try to like get that out of people. And you know, sometimes people give kind of closed-ended responses,
yeah,
or are kind of short when it comes to like getting into like the real juicy part of like some vulnerability.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a challenge too.
Can you say someone who's been the most vulnerable on here?
Oof. I mean, who was really open with us, bro?
I mean, I think everybody has.
I mean, to a certain extent, yeah. Everyone's came.
I'm trying to think of one that was like, holy shit.
Just blew. Honestly, Gita Barber, bro. He got pretty open with us.
For sure.
He got pretty vulnerable with us.
G, Drop Dead, got very vulnerable.
I wasn't there for Drop Dead, bro, but I wish I was.
Yeah.
That would have been a hell of a conversation. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of one that was like, oh fuck, that was heavy. Obviously, Juan Gandara was.
Oh, Juan Gandara
was very vulnerable.
Yeah, crazy vulnerable.
Yeah,
crazy, but, amazing story.
Mm-hmm. But
I'm sorry.
How's this live looking, bro? Pretty dead. Pretty deaderton. It's all good. Yeah. We gonna post it. We'll post it on. Are you down to post it on IG?
Yeah. I don't care. So the last question here is from Paul, bro. He said, "Tell us the story about how you and James met, and about how you got and how you guys felt about each other at first." My bad.
Damn. Fuck this guy. I'm just kidding.
I thought he was a puss.
No, bro. I mean, bro, we've known each other for fucking math wise. Huh.
At least like 18, 17 years.
Yeah.
We had to have been like seven.
Yeah, we.
Seven, maybe.
I think we first met each other at football practice.
Yeah.
And then I think we
didn't really talk at football, though.
No, we didn't get close until basketball. You came to basketball.
Yeah.
Which was maybe like a year later. Right. And then we just started chilling, bro, hanging out. We'd be at each other's houses all the time. And then we both went to middle school. Went to different middle schools, and then we actually still hung out, but not as much. And then we went to the same high school, but barely fucking hung out.
Yeah, literally. When not only that, but this guy was a homebody, so
yeah.
I mean, I could have invited him, and he would have been like, "Yo,
nah." If you would have invited me, I would have fucking
get the went, fuck. Bro. No, you're full of shit. You would have been like, "Bro, honestly, I got a bunch of homework. Like, I got a test, and da 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 da." Come.
Sorry, I'm going with Gene tomorrow.
Yo, literally. Like, yo, I'm just trying to be prepared and shit.
Yeah. Nah, that's facts. But yeah, we've known each other for fucking long. And then we didn't, even after high school, we didn't really hang out until fucking last year, bro.
Yeah.
The beginning of last year.
Yeah. So, yeah. So a little bit about that, too, is when once we kind of graduated and we both were kind of going through our own, like, kind of issues in our personal lives. I remember we would always like kind of like occasionally like call each other and talk, and you know, we'd kind of get pretty deep and have these vulnerable conversations, right? And then finally like things aligned because he was in ASU and then I've kind of been a little bit everywhere, but I was more so back home.
Yeah.
I was back home.
And you were in a relationship.
I was in a relationship. Yeah. So then I got out of a relationship, and then that's really when we started like kind of linking back up again.
Do you feel... Do you feel like, because naturally when you get into a relationship, you're not going to, you know, I don't know, it's not the same for everybody, but it's going to take your time away from other things.
100%.
Do you feel like all healthy relationships, that won't happen as much? Or do you feel like it just depends what the situation is? Like, do you feel like in an unhealthy relationship, it's usually like when you kind of separated from like your friends that you normally hang out with, and your maybe even your family, like it's just taken away from other, that like, does that mean it's unhealthy after a certain extent?
Man, it depends how you look at it, man. When I feel like every relationship is unique to where like it all, like they have their own like structure and you know different boundaries, and that's all stuff that you know you're gonna like have to deal with and like figure out within your own personal relationship. But I mean, yeah, everybody is different, bro. To some people, I mean, it's the best decision they ever made was to, like, you know, just become fully focused on their woman and build a family. It depends where y'all are at. But I think, like, right off the bat, initially, like, the first year to 2 years, whatever, like, I don't think it needs to be, like, a sudden, drastic lifestyle change to
where,
you know, I think it should be more flowing and easygoing. And then once it's time to, like, build a family and you guys are living together, things like that, maybe so. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it can be toxic. I think there needs to be a balance with all of that.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
How long is this one? One or two? I mean, we did a solid hour, bro. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I mean, you feel like you want to, like, talk about some other stuff? Or
yeah, I got to get something off my chest, bro. Let's
talk about it.
Actually, I'm just kidding, bro. Is there, though?
Like, should we bring out the tequila bottle? And
I kind of miss those days, bro.
Yo, honestly, bro.
Actually, like, we should definitely have an episode, like, and we're being ourselves. But definitely, like, we be shooting the shit like boys sometimes. Sometimes I kind of want to, like, talk about some crazy shit.
But the thing, we can have some, like,
it has to be a different platform.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%.
Fuck, let's just start a new fucking pod. Name it something else, and we'll talk about more shit.
No, we can do that. But like I said, bro, I'm really fucking excited to move. Oh,
that's literally, it's just... Here, bro, it's just a lot of the same shit. Like, and I love El Paso, bro. Like, don't think I'm bashing.
I don't even think it's an El Paso thing. I just think it's a hometown thing, you know?
Yeah.
People who grew up in fucking, well, I don't know, L.A. People love L.A. Like, anybody who
grows up there. No, I think even, like, people that grew up in L.A., like, I'm sure they...
Anywhere you grow up, though, you're just like, I kind
of
want
to... If they love it, it's literally just probably because of the beach and, like, just the access to everything.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm sure shit gets old anywhere you're from. I mean... I think we're just ready for some new shit for a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If anything, we'll come back, bro. Like, El Paso's a gold mine. I really do feel like that. But I also think, like, you can't live in El Paso. You're, like, just born and raised and stay your whole life. Like, I think it's crucial to get, like, a taste of the outside world.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I think we'll come back pretty often. I feel like we should still host events here. I think we can still host events here and do other things. And even if there's an episode we want to do with someone, we can always come back.
Literally.
But, yeah, man. Well, that was a little quick.
Hey, bro, no. El Pasoans literally go to Austin so often.
Yeah.
Like, we'll probably catch him in Austin.
For sure.
To be honest.
No, yeah. Dude, yeah. Knowing, like, how many people go to Austin, like, we could have someone, just one of our friends or people we know, be in Austin damn near every weekend that we know that we can just say, like.
Yeah, like, up, just like, get on the pod,
Yeah,
literally.
But yeah, man, that was a little quickie. Definitely, we have the next guest in the works. Hopefully, what, this week or next week?
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, it might be this week. It might be next week. But
yeah. But yeah, man, let's keep this going. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Most Vulnerable Player. And yeah, man, any final words, Mr. Curry?
Nah, man, appreciate y'all, you know, everybody that made it out to our event, you know, it meant a lot, had fun, and I hope to see you guys at the next one.
Yes, sir. Vickerton? Wow.
Peace.
You heard it here first. No, I'm just kidding, that's stupid.